Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It's called a circular firing squad. And my observation, after 5 weeks with no Donald Trump to unify around and hate, the Dems are turning on each other, just like that. The highest profile target right now is New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who seems certain to be on his way out. But there's so many more. Some are currently in the news. Some are being attacked from things they did years ago. But it's all Dem-on-Dem hate and crime, and it's fabulous to watch. It was inevitable. Hey, a 22-year-old Royals prospect hit the longest home run some people have ever seen. They're calling it at least 525 feet. This happened Monday afternoon. I'll tell you who he is and what manager Mike Matheny said about the blast. Watching Lon Kruger's season fall apart at OU has sort of been an annual event, but watching on the same night Roy Williams and Jim Boeheim were pillow fighting each other for a spot on the bubble has me thinking it's time to blow up college basketball. This sport needs some more new, young coaches with some fire and some passion. It's really sad to watch some of these old Hall of Fame coaches just stand there in their sweatpants and watch their teams fail. The Las Vegas Raiders cut three players on Monday. You won't believe why. They all had one thing in common. I actually respect it. Texas Longhorn athletic boosters are fighting back against their school's cancel culture with their pocketbooks. This is a big story. And Kobe Bryant's childhood basketball hoop is auctioned off. All on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck and his team are available 24/7 for any emergency you may have. I always recommend you keep the number in your contacts in your phone. 913-384-2680. The website is rbuckroofing.com. If you're in the market for a new roof or a minor repair, Ron Buck and his team will take care of it for you. They also do commercial buildings. No project is too big. They do big buildings on the plaza, the Midland Theater, and of course they did my home and they're doing my new home that's under construction. Big fans of Buck Roofing. They're the best. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fix the roof over your head. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. I went up last weekend and dropped off the Sierra, the truck, the Denali. Gorgeous truck. Unbelievable ride. I had it, 3 weeks? Drove it around. Remarkable how great that is. And after I come back from going to Arizona, he says he's going to send me a midsize SUV. So I'm looking forward to driving one of the SUVs. I don't know whether it's going to be a Chevy, a Buick, or a GMC. But I know this, it's going to be a great ride, and that ride could be yours for a great price with service people that will respect you the whole way through. The entire process of buying or getting your car serviced there, or if you're looking for a pre-owned car, they just treat you with respect at Roberts Robinson. Mike's promise to me is my promise to you. He said he knows this. If you listen to this podcast and you decide to do business with Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs or online at robertsrobinson.com, you will never have had an experience where you were treated of Chevys, Buicks, and GMCs. We are professional grade. And bstock.net, an online electronics superstore. They sell at a discount. A lot of these items are open box, bad box, shelf life, whatever it may be, last year's models. They're all brand new. They all have warranties. Televisions, computers, Dell, HP, Lenovo. Don't buy a computer anywhere else. Televisions, Vizio, LG, Samsung. Huge savings if you buy online at bstock.net. That's B as in boy, bstock.net. It doesn't matter where you live, they'll ship it to you. If you live near Olathe, Kansas, the Kansas City area, you can go to their outlet store right in front of their warehouse and save even more. Ridiculous price right now on 75-inch 7 Series 4K TVs, just $659. That's a 75-inch 4K Samsung 7 Series, $659. If you buy two or more, because they have so many of them, they'll lower the price to $619. That's crazy. I mean, that's just a crazy price. These are gorgeous, big televisions. And, man, they treat you great at B-Stocks. Go check that out. The outlet store is 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It's the old Toys R Us building. And you'll see the only way to buy electronics in Kansas City is bstock.net. Don't even consider anything else. Okay, big observation. Trump is gone. The Dems are all firing at each other. This one's going to be fun on KKHI. Hit it!
Elite Automation presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Make your building great again. Online at EliteAutomate.com.
We start with an observation on this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, and I'll back it up with some nice little information in the news to I think, prove my point. And my observation is simply this. We've had a few weeks of Donald Trump being out of the White House and the Democrats being in charge of everything in this country. And while Trump made an appearance on Sunday that got a ridiculously great download on YouTube, the Golden Globes were down 60% Sunday night on NBC. The Golden Globes, people don't like the award shows anymore, and they don't like Hollywood. Those were down 60%. In fact, 50% more people watched Donald Trump's CPAC speech on YouTube than watched the Golden Globes in primetime on NBC, according to one metric. That is remarkable. So what's happening here, my observation is this. With Trump gone, the Democrats are just right and left being exposed for exactly what they are. There's no hiding them. There's no keeping them out of the news. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it. And what is really beautiful about the really crazy part of the Democrat Party, the far left, the real nutty ones, is they're not really married to a party. They don't really care about candidates. They don't like Republicans. They don't like conservatives. So many people on the far left only care about one thing. And that's a wide variety of things, okay? But when you add these grievance groups together, which is what I call them, when you add up all the grievance groups, it's a pretty good voting block. It's a big number of voters. Your grievance may be the color of your skin. Your grievance may be that you don't like religion. Your grievance may be sexual preference. Your grievance may be gender. Your grievance may be the environment. Your grievance may be allowing immigrants in and treating everyone equally and the government supporting everyone. You know what all the grievances are. You know what they are, whether it's cancel culture, whether it's getting rid of Dr. Seuss books. People get there's a better term that I'm not going to use here. They get excited about their one singular issue, and they go bonkers on the thing. And one of the really big issues that they tried to get Trump on, of course, was the Me Too movement, your sexual harassment, things like that. And what was learned is that if you're if your moral compass is Christianity and marriage and all those things, Donald Trump was not your guy. If that's why you vote for a president, we're probably done with presidents at this point. Okay. I mean, there's just the history of presidents in this country is, and I, as the older I've gotten, I've learned this. I'm not voting. I can't vote based on, does this person live their life the way I live mine? I just think that's impossible to do. The way I vote is, does this person believe in putting policies in that I think will advance this country and protect this country and keep her and make her great? That's the way I choose to vote. And I know that human beings are flawed, and I don't expect everyone that's elected to live some tremendous moral life and, you know, do this or do that or live the way I live. And there's all kinds of people that think I live morally wrong, okay, that I don't live the way you live. I'm not as good as you. So judging people on that becomes very, very haphazard and difficult in an election. But what we're finding out here with Andrew Cuomo, we'll start there, is that apparently Donald Trump was a pretty good guy. I mean, this is just remarkable. What's happening now, because there is no Trump to go after every day in the news. There is nothing. They simply cannot ignore the issues with Democrats. And we just spent the better part of 5 years, maybe six, because Trump was running prior to being elected, where Donald Trump was the news cycle every single day. And it didn't matter what you did as a Democrat, you pretty much got a pass. Unless you committed a crime or something. I mean, my God, we've got this Swalwell guy. He's like number 17 on the list now. And he had an affair, a relationship with a Chinese spy. Are you kidding me? And that's so far down the Dem list that it definitely doesn't make the top 10 at this point. And what's crazy about them as a group, if we just say Democrats, if you vote, let's just take all the people in America that voted for Biden, which is 20 million fewer than they say, because so many were just harvested. They didn't really vote. They're just like, whatever, here's my ballot. So let's just say there's 60 million Democrat voters out there, and they're going to vote for the Democrat no matter what, and they voted for Biden, and they went and they pulled the lever. Of those people, it's like a circular firing squad now. I mean, you've got the Me Too women just all over Andrew Cuomo, and they've put everyone else in a position where they have to join them. Okay, this is a mob mentality. So Chuck Schumer, who's the senator in New York, has no choice but to join in and call for an investigation into Andrew Cuomo. Now these people are saying he's just got to resign. Well, I've been thinking that for a couple of weeks. I would have thought a good thing to do would be resign when, while trying to run a large state like New York in a pandemic, you're writing a book about yourself. That might be a good indication that you're not really focused on being a great governor. So we know that. A third woman has come forward. Cuomo apparently asked her at a wedding a little over a year ago. Can I kiss you? And now there's pictures of him with both his hands on her neck, with his fingers under her hair, and the pictures of him are looking like he's about to go in. He's going. I'm going to kiss her, and this is going to happen right here. Well, the woman's friends took pictures of this. It's like a public event. It's a wedding, right? I mean, it may be a private wedding, but it's a public event. There's people everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. This guy is a creeper, okay? End of conversation. He's a creeper. He's got to go. The nursing home thing was worse. Being an inept governor is worse, but being Democrat and inept are kind of the same thing. They're one and the same. You know that bad decisions are going to be made because you're going to make decisions for the wrong reasons. Democrats make decisions based on these tiny pieces of grievance groups. They have to keep them all appeased. And for 5 years, everyone under that tent, they were unified in their hatred of Donald Trump. Well, it's gone. He's gone. They still hate him. But come on, the threat is gone. He's not president. He's of no danger to them. He may annoy them with the things he says at CPAC, or whatever, but he can't do anything. So it's all on them. And again, I always say this. It's like, who's the adult in the room? This is like leaving your teenagers home for the weekend. Okay, you have a 15 and a 16-year-old, right? You leave them home for the weekend while you and your wife go to Vegas. That's what we have now. It's a house party, all right? And you know what's going to happen. It's going to hit the fan. And it is hitting the fan. And Cuomo can't do this. And his brother's on CNN. And his brother's saying, well, I can't cover my brother. So there is other news that matters also. While saying he on CNN cannot cover his brother, he says, I'm aware of what's going on, but I can't cover it. Well, they didn't have any trouble covering it when they were doing a comedy show, when they were joking around with each other during COVID. When he thought the governor was doing great with COVID, he was on. Look, my issue isn't that Chris Cuomo isn't covering this now, although I do think at the top of each show, he should have to read a straight news story about his brother and say, there will be no commentary on this tonight and no guests on this tonight, but here's today's news concerning my brother, and read the script that somebody else writes. He should have to do that, okay? But the real mistake was made with all the other stuff that he's done with his brother in the past, having him on, joking around, building him up, all that stuff. That's the real problem. Even the Washington Post has put out a tweet. A journalist there says on his tweet, quote, every J school, journalism school, every J school student knows that ethically, you're only allowed to interview your brother when news is good about him. That's like, you know, a day one lesson, unquote. That's exactly right. And this is Democrats, the Washington Post, piling on Democrats, which is what they are doing. The circular firing squad has begun. It is everywhere. Andrew Cuomo's a creeper. He's got to resign. This is not about impeachment. This is not about an attorney general investigation. It's time to step down. He's goofy. He's nutty. He didn't do well during the pandemic. He lied. He has lied repeatedly. He's got to go. And I don't say this. Okay, this to me isn't because he's a Democrat. This guy's a hot mess. All right, everything they complain about with Trump, this is times 20. I mean, this isn't even close. He's doing a terrible job as governor. He's lied to people and people have died. I'm not going to call him a murderer. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to lose my cool here on Andrew Cuomo. As sad as it is to say, I don't care enough about him or worry enough about the government. New York is so distant from me, and this is one of the problems we have in this country. I don't know if I'll ever go to New York again. I don't. I never really liked going. I liked going for the sporting events because I thought the stadiums were cool and it was neat to be there when I was working. But I went there one time with my wife and my kids on vacation, and I did not enjoy it all that much. I really didn't. It's not my thing. It's a lot of people's thing. It is not my thing. So I think about New York zero, other than they're standing in the way of keeping my country great. To me, New York and California, it would be fantastic if they just seceded from the Union. I think we'd have a great country. I think it'd just be phenomenal if they seceded from the union and went off on their own, and we went to 48 states and we left them behind and let them do whatever the hell they want. But see, what they do is they cost us money. So we don't cost people in New York money. If you live in the Midwest, you're not hurting anyone in New York or California. You're not. If you live in the Midwest, they're hurting you because we're about to bail them out. This $1.9 trillion is going to clean up their messes from all their crime, all their illegal immigration, all their wrecked infrastructure, all the things that they have overspent on ridiculous programs that don't mean a hill of beans when it comes to governing a country. Because there are some simple things that a country needs to do. You need to help the people remain safe, and you need to have infrastructure in place so people can drive, move around, live their lives freely, safely. These are important things for a government. California and New York have largely ignored those. And they've known if we ignore these things, the feds will take care of this for us, which is their end-all be-all of liberalism. And it's worked for them. I can't call them stupid. That part's working. But while this is going on, and these people are being exposed, and they no longer have common ground in attacking Trump because he's not really doing much, they turn on each other, and they have turned on Cuomo, and he's in trouble, and he's a mess. And if he was a Republican, I'd be calling for his job. He's a disaster. These women aren't lying. It's obvious to everyone. And in a cancel culture where Amazon's going to stop selling Dr. Seuss books because there's something in there about scrambled eggs that are racist. I can't give you any details of this story because I refuse to read it. I'm sorry. I refuse to read it. I didn't get into the Mr. Potato Head thing, although I heard they backed off. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't even want to hear their justification for some of this stupid stuff because it is beyond belief. It is beyond stupidity. They say things that are outrageous, and this one's going to hurt Joe Biden. You can't lock Joe Biden down enough, right? We're in March, and he has not done a State of the Union address. Why has he not done this? I think you're going to hear a lot of people asking, why hasn't he done it? Well, because he's going to look bad. He's going to bumble and stumble his way through it. He's going to have that thing where he gets lost and closes his eyes and goes, I'm going to get lost, which he did again last week with a teleprompter. He gets lost. He can't read a teleprompter. He hasn't given a State of the Union speech. And he makes a comment about Mexico. He has this virtual meeting with the Mexican president yesterday because we've got a crisis at the border that they refuse to call a crisis. We are 1 month in, little over 5 weeks into the Biden presidency. We now have a crisis at the border that we didn't have for the last 3 years because we did one simple thing at the border. For 4 years in this country, we did one thing. We did one thing at the border. We enforced the laws of the United States of America. That's all Trump did. He didn't do anything outrageous. Congress passed the laws, Senate approved them, and the President of the United States signed them years ago. All he did was enforce the laws of the country. Biden gets in and says, we're no longer enforcing the law. Stand down, catch and release, let people go. Here they come. People in Central and South America and Mexico see it, and they're flooding their way here. They're coming again because that's what Biden wants, and it's created chaos. And so he has this thing with the Mexican president, and Biden says this, and maybe he means it, maybe he doesn't. I think what he tried to say is, and I think it's a wonderful thing to say, that we as Americans see the Mexican people as our equal. And I think that's right. I think generally you say about anyone in the world, we see people as our equal. But what Biden said was, we see Mexico as an equal. And that's wrong. And you should not be president of the United States if that's the way you see it. If you run a company in this country, you should not see your competitors as your equal. You should strive to and attain a position where you are better than them. That is the goal of anyone in business. That is the goal of, if I get hired with 9 other people, they hire 10 people at a job and we all do the same job, all right? We all just went to Amazon Fulfillment. We're all going to sit there, me and 9 other people, all right? I don't see them as workers as my equal. I see them as people as my equal. I'm going to outwork them. I'm going to do a better job. And as president of the United States, you do not see Mexico as an equal. That country is not our equal. And this is a huge problem with liberals. They want everyone and every country and everything to be equal, and that is wrong. That is how that leads to the destruction of the United States. We don't ever want to be anybody's equal. I'm sorry. You want to be the greatest country on earth. You don't want to be Mexico's equal. You don't want to be Canada's equal. And when it's not even close, by the way, let's not even have the discussion about quality of life, economies, national defense, contributions to humanity, science and research. I mean, on and on and on. I could go on for hours about how much greater the United States is than Canada or Mexico. But they're our neighbors, and we can see the people as our equal. That's fine. That's noble. That's just. That's the way to view the world. We'll see people as equal. But their government, their country, their constitution, the way they operate, what has led to greatness in this land is not equal to what we have. And yet these people want to destroy it. They want to tear down our constitution and what made us great. They want us to be equal to Mexico and Canada. And that's going to be a really, really bad day for everyone in this country. But this is what Joe Biden says, and maybe he meant it. He should be asked about it. He may not. He may have slipped. He may have meant to say the Mexican people are our equal, and he said he views Mexico as our equal, as an equal. They're not. And he's going to take heat, and he's going to take heat from some Democrats in the middle, because remember this, okay? The war hawks in this country, right now the politicians in this country that want to go to war most are Democrats. That is switched, just like the blue-collar workers have switched to the Republican Party. It has changed. The oligarchs, the really, really wealthy, the tech titans, the billionaires are all Democrats now. And they love globalism, and they love global conflict. It leads to, I had a guy tell me, I didn't understand this, it was in grade school, I had a teacher tell me in grade school, I'd never heard this, I was a very young child, I think maybe 10 years old, fifth grade, something like that. He said, wars are good for the economy. And I was like, whoa. He said things that make you think, and if you said them today, you'd probably get fired. And then he backed it up, and he goes, well, what happens is they have to have airplanes, they have to have bullets, they have to have guns. All these people travel, you buy all these munitions, all the meals have to be made, you buy uniforms. All this stuff has to be bought. The government buys it all, and it leads to an economic boom. He was right, of course, and you can study that and you can learn that later in life. But for a kid in grade school, it was pretty shocking to hear. But that's where the Democrats are. They want to be in Syria. Biden's got airstrikes in Syria. It took him 2 hours to get back into a conflict. They're ready. They want to spend. They want to do this. They want globalism. It's nuts what's happened with these parties. And if Joe Biden wants to be an equal to Mexico, he can probably accomplish that in 4 years the way he's going. They didn't stop there. There are so many things here today. David Letterman is, for our younger listeners to the podcast, he is formerly the host of The Late Show with David Letterman, which was for a long time, the number one rated show that comes on at 10:30 at night after the local news. David Letterman was a huge star at NBC, but he was behind The Tonight Show. He was on at 11:30, not 10:30. And so he switched to CBS, and they put him on up against The Tonight Show. And he had wonderful... David Letterman was an amazing talent, a very talented guy, very funny guy, a very unique show. He redefined what happened late at night. And for the better part of 20 years, he didn't do politics, really. Toward the end, he did. And it ended the same way as it does with all the liberals who gain crazy power in New York City that have a show or on TV, whether it's Charlie Rose or Andrew Cuomo or Matt Lauer, or a host of these other people. David Letterman was shamed his way out, essentially, at the end, after sex in the workplace. None of it was any good. He walks away, he becomes a hermit, he grows a long beard, he goes into hibernation, and he's just now starting to come back out. I don't know if you've noticed this. He did a thing with Peyton Manning on ESPN, the Peyton's Place thing. So apparently Letterman feels like he can now sort of come out, that the culture is good. He's bashed Trump. He's in the in crowd with all the left-wing people again. And so he's sort of come out and done some things here recently. Well, now that he has, the circular firing squad is on David Letterman. Jennifer Aniston recently did a podcast and said she was totally creeped out when she went on the Letterman show. And she pointed to an interview that is, of course, available. It's on YouTube and people have now seen it. And it went viral here a couple of weeks ago. Some 20 years later or longer. Well, this was when Friends was on. This would have been the 90s, right? Late 90s, early 2000s. And he gets her on the set And he says, can I just do one thing? And this is on TV, and they didn't edit it out. It was crazy. Can I just do one thing? And she goes, I guess. And he gets up in his chair, and he slides around, and he does the Biden thing. He grabs her behind the neck and grabs her hair and just starts smelling her hair. Total creeper move. We now know that he was a creeper at work. We know that he did creeper things with women on the show. Paris Hilton is now speaking out. She says on her podcast that she was uncomfortable, humiliated. She went on the show in 2007. He promised not to bring up her parole or her jail time. And he brought it up and just started pushing it on her as she says, as an act of dominance, which is the same kind of thing in the workplace. It's an act of male dominance over a female. She felt it. They went to commercial break. She said, hey, we agreed we weren't talking about this, that we're here to talk about other stuff. And he goes, gosh, I'm really sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. And he came back out and he did it again. And she told him afterwards, I'm never coming on again. And he did this. He bullied her. He basically bullied her on television. You can see these interviews now. He sent her a case of wine as an apology. Lindsay Lohan has come out and said, he mocked my rehab in front of me. You know, it's one thing in your comedy monologue to make fun of someone in rehab or something, right? Lindsay Lohan was a guest on the show, and he mocked her right in front of her. She's now come out and is all over. All these women are coming out now saying David Letterman was either sexually or through intimidation, bullying, as a host of a show. Well, what's the point of this? This is cancel culture coming full circle. Clearly, they didn't edit the stuff out, so it was acceptable in those days. And it went on the air, and it's available on YouTube. You can see these things. They are turning on each other. They're turning on each other everywhere. And it's so fascinating to watch. And it simply is an observation on my part, but it leads me to believe that with no Trump, no one bad guy for them all to unify around and say, let's just all hate this guy. We won't worry about how we all hate each other. Because my God, the Democrat Party is one flawed operation. Okay? It's a group of, it contains a lot of really flawed and messed up people who have some serious issues about understanding what is important for a government and what is not. That's truly the crux of the whole thing, is that you feel so safe and protected living in America that you forget that every civilization that has ever been the best civilization in humanity on Earth has fallen. Every single number one civilization has fallen. Why would America not fall? My question is, how do we keep her from falling as the number one civilization on Earth? And how do we make this last thousands of years instead of 250 years? Because 250 isn't enough. We need to do better. We need to protect her. But Letterman becomes the new guy, and they'll attack anyone. They're on Widmer now in Michigan. The governor there had a lieutenant governor employee quit on their own, and now she has to pay him like $175,000 in severance pay or something, and people are going crazy about this. Every single time you turn around, everything and everyone that people complain about, the liberals that you hear about, all the complaints, all the grievances. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Every grievance they have is more profound or pronounced internally. It's like, okay, the Me Too thing, this sexual harassment thing. Well, it's like a 5-to-1 ratio, Democrats to Republicans. It's crazy. I heard someone describe Republicans or conservatives as the actual party and people of love. And I think this is solid. I think this should be promoted. I think because almost everything liberals say about conservatives is the opposite of what's true. And the reason they say it over and over and over is because they don't want people to know what you really are. They just don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that you don't wake up every day a racist looking to harm someone or be mean to someone that isn't like you. That you don't hate people, that you can run into a complete stranger, or you have friends that are liberals. And I promise you this, I can guarantee you. If you're a conservative like I am, have liberal relatives and friends, you like and or love them a lot more than they like or love you. I don't think there is any question about that. Now, you don't think about it every day. You just live your life and you accept others. You take people for what they are. You believe when you meet somebody that they're good and honest. You trust them. That traps us a lot. we fail in our life journey because of that, because there are plenty of times, plenty of days, plenty of years where we trust somebody and learn that we shouldn't have trusted somebody. So there's some weakness to our game, but it is true. And that everyone and everything that is out there that they hate, that they have a grievance with, it really is more pronounced in liberals. And we're seeing this with Cuomo. We're seeing it now with Letterman. We're seeing it with some of the things Joe Biden is doing. And he's a creeper. Let's not make mince words here. That dude's a creeper. He sniffs hair and he touches young girls. That's been proven time and time again. I am not accusing him of a crime. I don't know that he's done it. I don't know. I know about his son, who's despicable. All right. All I know is the actions of Joe Biden around women and girls in a public setting is creepy. It's creepy. All right. Everybody knows that. What they complain about, what they hate, really is, it's like they know each other so well. They're like, dang, we got all these problems internally here. Let's accuse these other people of all this stuff. It's weird, man. It's really, really weird. It's crazy. And everybody's got problems. Gavin Newsom's got trouble in California. He's getting recalled. We know what a hypocrite he is. Well, now he's got a problem on his hands in Orange County. Five young student athletes, these are high school age students from different sports, are suing the governor of California. And to me, this has merit. I'm not a legal scholar, so I don't know. It may just get thrown out. They've got good, these are conservatives, clearly. It's Orange County, right? These athletes come forward. They're suing Governor Newsom, and they're saying, we have not been able to play sports for a year in the state of California because of the government's mandate, Newsom's mandate, but he's allowing college students to play, and he's allowing professionals to play. Their argument is, we are safer than the college or pro players because we're kids. And we now have the science that kids are safer than adults. We know this. It's a fantastic lawsuit. It's the same thing over and over and over. Now that Trump is gone, the light is being shown on liberalism. I'm telling you, because look, the bottom line is this. These television channels, these newspapers, they have to have stories. If they don't, like, they're piling on Cuomo now. They're going to jump all over Cuomo. He's going to be done, right? They did this to Al Franken. Al Franken couldn't get away. He was a senator from Minnesota. He went on a trip to the war zone in Afghanistan or somewhere, and another comedian or somebody went with him, and she was very attractive, and she fell asleep on the plane or the helicopter or whatever, and he reached around and took a picture while she was sleeping of his hands on her breasts. Well, he was a comedian too. This is the kind of stuff you do backstage at Saturday Night Live, or you joke around in Hollywood or whatever, but you're a senator of the United States, and the picture gets out, and there was no recovering from that. And even the Dems piled on him. And I think they're going to do that here because even more than their grievances or their cause, the media will always need a story more than anything else. And they, of course, it was brilliant when Trump was there because their story was just bash Trump today. What did Trump do today? Let's go attack Trump today. So they had that all those years. But they don't have that every day now. They don't have it. They will put liberalism or their policy or whatever aside to go get a great story with Cuomo, and make no mistake about this. These TV networks and these newspapers don't want him to resign today. No. They want this to drag out for 2 or 3 weeks. They want this to last. They want another woman to come forward. They want sit-down interviews. They want more photographs. They want this thing to drag and drag and drag until he's so humiliated, 3 weeks from now he walks away. They want a month-long story here. They do. Because even the most ardent liberal in the media right now knows Cuomo's on the ropes and that it will be good for their cause, good for their party, good for whatever, if they now shun him. See, they will have virtue. They'll look more virtuous. We're better. He doesn't belong in our party. He's not as good as us. That's the game they're going to play next. And that's what they do. That's my observation. We're 5 weeks in. Trump is out, and it's pretty clear it's a circular firing squad at this point. They're turning on each other. But there's plenty of reason to turn on each other. And most of these stories, to be honest, if Trump was still president, they wouldn't be getting many headlines. Nobody would care that some woman in New York was complaining about Andrew Cuomo. Nobody would care. There'd be something Trump was doing that would lead the news cycle, and it would not be Cuomo's problem. The worst thing happened to Andrew Cuomo was Donald Trump didn't get reelected. Worst possible thing. And this is the case for a lot of them. It's going to happen with the Michigan governor. She's got problems. Newsom in California, all of them. They're all going to have problems because they don't have Trump to unify the people that voted for them and put them in. They now have to answer for what they're doing. See, this is a totally different deal. Here's our policy. Here's what we're doing. I'm culpable for this. You can hold me accountable. I'm going to tell you what it is that we're doing. And once that happens with Democrats, they're toast. Once people start seeing what they're doing, they can't win again. They're toast. And before, nobody cared about that stuff, just ignoring it. Just say something bad about Trump and make me feel good, which is why you always vote for a Democrat. They make you feel good. You're not a racist. You're like me. You hate Donald Trump. There's no real reason. I don't want to talk about policy. I don't care what you're going to do when you get in there. I just don't want to be a racist, and I don't like Trump. So whoosh, check the box. I vote for you. Strange world we live in, folks. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Back 9 Development. Back 9 Development's a real estate development company. TJ just builds the greatest custom homes and commercial projects as well. They're all on his website if you want to see the great work. If you'd like to call TJ or meet with him about a project for you, he can pretty much do anything. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, they're all over the Midwest. Back9development.com will build for you. Custom build. In grand style. Right now, he has a condominium project going on the Colbert Hills Golf Course called Solheim at Grand Mirror. These are $249,000 and up. They're upscale condos, and they're terrific investments. I promise you right now, these are great investments. Call TJ at 785-236-0161. That's 236-0161. He's a good dude, great company, tremendous builder. These are neat projects. I've got a couple of friends looking at these that have 13, 14, 15-year-old kids that they think are headed to K-State, that it might be a good place to have on the weekends for college football weekends, to play golf. They do business. I've mentioned that. I got a couple of friends who do business in Manhattan. They spend a lot of time there, staying in hotels or whatever. It's a great way to go, and they're just a fantastic investment. 785-236-0161, Solheim at Grand Mirror, back9development.com. CBD Green Compass. This is Stacey Higgins. She's a friend of mine. The Green Compass CBD is the best CBD. This is what she told me after I've known her for 20 years. It's USDA organic. There's no THC. They grow their own. There's no middleman in North Carolina. This is a new company. It's been in business for 2 years, and it is growing enormously. Pain, inflammation, topical creams, roll-ons. Put it in your golf bag. Keep it. They also have CBD for calming and focus. These are really, really great products. So if you want to get a hold of Stacy, you can get the products, or if you want to do what Stacy is doing, she's helping people get started to work at home, part-time, side hustle, extra money. You may know people that would like these products. Even if you just know 20, 30, 40, 50 people in your inner circle, if you find them and they become clients of yours, you make some good money on the side. If you like the products and you believe in them, you can use the products. It's a great deal. Stacy can help you with more information on how you can work at home, or you can make it your full-time job. Green Compass CBD has doubled its sales in its second year to $22 million. This is about to be a $20 billion industry by 2024. This is a family that started this business. This is not some big corporate entity. This really is organic. They got the permits. They grew it on their farm. They made the best products. No middlemen. It's all made in America. And that's why it costs more. To be honest, these products do cost more than what you can get at the store, but they're better, they're more pure, and there's no THC. That's really important to a lot of people. And if you want to sell the very best, you can do that. Contact Stacy at cbd-gc.com. That's cbd-gc.com. Or call Stacy at 961-3881. That's 913-961-3881. Get rid of your pain or decrease your financial pain with a little side hustle or some extra income with Green Compass CBD. Fry Orthodontics and Dr. Jeremy Fry. Dr. Jeremy Fry has RSVP'd for the patron watch party on March 20th. We're going to be doing a watch party for the NCAA tournament first round March 20th if you're a patron. So if you'd like to join as a patron, you can get the information on that, where we'll be, and what's going to go down that day. That'll be fun. He's not just a sponsor of the show. He's also a patron. Appreciate that, Dr. Jeremy. He's a good dude, great family guy. And his dad started an unbelievable practice in Kansas City many, many years ago, and it just continues to expand into different parts of Kansas City and around the Midwest. And they're just the best. They're just the best. It's where I took my daughter to get her braces, and I can't imagine going anywhere else. Call Dr. Fry's office at 469-9191 to schedule your first appointment. It is free if you mention the podcast. Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. We went to Joslyn's this weekend. My wife, I got her some pearl earrings for Christmas at Joslyn's. She said, well, I like these, but I'm not really a pearl girl, but I would maybe wear them once a year or something like that. And she says, what I'd really like to do is go in, and I think she knew what she wanted to do, but she didn't tell me. She has these diamond stud earrings that I got her years ago, and she loves them. She wears them almost every day, almost every day, and never takes them out. They have screw backs, so they stay in the whole time. She loves them. She wanted to go in and upgrade them to bigger ones. Joslyn's does something amazing. They give you full credit for the diamonds you're trading in, because diamonds are forever, toward what you're upgrading to. It's pretty amazing. So I had bought her the pearl earrings, and then she already had these earrings, the diamond studs. We put them together and traded up, and she got the stud earrings that she likes. Joslyn's is awesome. This is just the kind of customer service they provide. 95th and Antioch, Joslyn's Jewelry, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Okay, Sully Matias is a 22-year-old player for the Kansas City Royals. You may not know a lot about him, and he is not likely to make the club. He's probably headed to Double A again this year. He had a disappointing 2019. 2020 doesn't count, but he's ridiculously young. And the Royals are saying he has more raw power in his bat than anyone in the organization. And that's hard to believe because Jorge Soler led the majors in home runs 2 years ago, right? The Royals say Sully Matias has more raw. A lot of people were worried Khalil Lee got traded away in the Benintendi trade. Well, this is another one of the reasons why the Royals think it's okay. They have Nick Heath. They've got some players they think are maybe better than Lee. And Sully Matias has unbelievable power. Now, can he harness that? Can he learn how to hit a curveball? A lot of questions to be answered here. He's not major league ready. He hit a home run yesterday that many people who've been in baseball a long, long time say is the farthest home run they've ever seen hit. At the ballpark, they played at Cleveland yesterday. The Royals won the game. At Cleveland, they said it was 495 feet. Everyone is saying add at least 30 feet to that. It was 5 1/4. It went over the wall, over the bullpen, over the scoreboard, and hit into the top of a palm tree, which was taller than the scoreboard. Mike Matheny, the Royals manager, said upon watching this bomb, it looked like the tree blew up, unquote. That's what Mike Matheny said. Terry Francona, the Indians manager, said he'd never seen one farther. He said they're still looking for that ball. That does matter. And the reason it matters, and I know it sounds great, like it doesn't really equate to golf in the same way. A lot of people like, you know, or even place kicking in football. Okay, so you can hit a 58-yarder. Yeah, but can you make every extra point? You know, there's more to it than that, right? There's so much more to it than that. In golf, you may outdrive everyone, but if you can't hit your irons or you're not a good putter, you're not going to beat the other players. It's a little different in baseball in that most lineups can handle a guy that can hit, you know, Mark McGwire was the poster child for this. Poster man, I guess we should say. You can go hit 219 if you hit 50 home runs and have 120 RBIs. You can get away with that. And the reason this immense power matters is Sully Matias will miss a ball. He'll hit it too high and not get all of it and still get a home run. That's the key to the big numbers of home runs. There's a certain number you're going to hit like he hit yesterday that would go out of a ballpark on Mars. What you want to do is you want to get players that when they don't quite get it all, it doesn't go to the warning track. How many years do we say the Royals have a lot of guys with warning track power? And they did. There were a lot of players that didn't quite catch it, and it looked good, and there it went, and went right to the wall, and it would be caught. Well, Sully Matias is the guy that when he hits the warning track shot, it's going out by 10 feet. He just has that much more power. And they love him. They love the power in this kid's bat, but it was apparently maybe the moment of spring training yesterday, a 520-plus foot home run by Sully Matias. Remember the name. This is good. The Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, that's John Gruden and company, they put a tweet out yesterday that they released three players all at once. They named the three players, and March 1st is the start of the new NFL season, right? So they released these three players, and people quickly noted that they didn't refer to this, they didn't say it, but it didn't take much to put two and two together. The three players they released at once on Twitter at the same time said goodbye to them, are the three players that opted out this past year for COVID. Now, the Raiders are taking heat for this. You're not going to hear any heat from me. Raiders have every right to do what they want. I'm sorry. There was plenty of information in September that football players were not at risk of dying from COVID or even really getting sick from COVID. The NFL did a remarkable job, and I understand people have people at home. The Chiefs had a player say, a running back say, hey, listen, my mom's got cancer. I still want to visit with her and all that. That's a legitimate reason. If she's dying and he thinks she only has a few months to live and he wants to go spend it with her, okay. We saw Laurent Duvernay-Tardif say he wants to go work as a doctor during COVID, okay. I think the Raiders are saying, look, these guys took their paychecks. They were bottom of the roster players, so there wasn't much of a pay cut here. They got big, fat checks to not play, and the Raiders cut them all in one day. I am not going to be critical of that. How about Oklahoma State sweeping Oklahoma in basketball? I know that's not a big topic here for the podcast, but it brings up one topic that is kind of near and dear to me. Lon Kruger and Oklahoma were flying high a month ago. And then what did Lon Kruger do? He did what he always does. He loses to Bruce Weber. They're in the, like the top 10, right? I mean, they're flying. They're headed for a 2 or a 3 seed. Everybody loves Oklahoma. He loses to K-State. Dreadful loss. Then he gets swept by Oklahoma State in back-to-back games. Not good for Lon Kruger. Look, I know Lon Kruger's coached forever. There are coaches just phoning it in this sport. College basketball needs a makeover bad. Lon Kruger's one of them. He's taken a check. He clearly told Oklahoma when he was at UNLV, you know, I've sort of semi-retired. I'm living out here in Vegas. I'm coaching this team. I don't want to be in the rat race anymore. I don't want the NBA. I want a calmer life. And Joe Castiglione said, well, come to Oklahoma. We'll provide that for you. And he has. It's just comfortable and cushy. Don't cheat. Don't get Oklahoma football in any trouble. If you win a few games, great. Man, there's too much of that in college basketball. I watched Roy Williams and Jim Boeheim compete in a game last night on the bubble. Both of them. Both of them. Certainly the NCAA investigation, probations, shoe money drying up, these are all big factors. My goodness, it looks right now like there's a lot of coaches past their prime that are just phoning it in this sport. And I saw a lot of them one night last night. Just an observation, thought I'd point that out to you. I think they need some better young coaches. And I think they're just too soft. I think college basketball teams, by and large, are coached too soft now. Also in the Big 12 at the University of Texas, they play a song at the end of their football games. Well, they play it everywhere, but they really love it at the end of their football games. Win or lose, players come over to where the fans are, they put the hook'em horns up, and they play the Eyes of Texas. Texas announced during this last football season they're reevaluating this, and they're going to get rid of it because the origins of the song, the Eyes of Texas, somehow are in the Confederacy. They're not racist. The words aren't racist. But the origin of the song was by people who were Confederates. So, of course, Austin is the most liberal place in Texas. It's a university town and a government town, so of course it is. Texas is going to get rid of this. We're not going to do it. The backlash has been unbelievable. Dozens of boosters, supporters, many of whom donate $1 million or more and have things named after him, have told the president of the university, if you don't grow some backbone and stand up to cancel culture, not only are we pulling our resources from your athletic department, we're going to go to the biggest heavy hitters and replace you. Wow. Go Texas, go. Massive revolt by the donors. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are tied to this. We'll see what happens with the Eyes of Texas because the Eyes of college athletics are on this. Dan Dockich is a college basketball analyst for ESPN. A professor, boy, how, you got to hear this. A professor at Duke says she felt, and I want you to hear this word because I think when Cuomo grabbed the woman at the wedding, she felt violated. I think when Letterman rolled around the desk and sniffed Jennifer Aniston's hair on national TV, she felt violated. I think I understand what it would mean as a woman to feel violated by a man. A Duke professor says she felt violated by ESPN college basketball analyst Dan Dockich after he used the word bitching and made what she called a sexualized reference in a Twitter argument that has sparked a network investigation. ESPN is investigating Dan Dockage. Last month, Duke lecturing fellow Nathan Coleman Lamb chastised Dockage and other members of the media who said freshman basketball player Jalen Johnson quit on the team by opting out of the season with six games to go. Well, factually, you did quit on the team when you opted out for COVID with six games to go. This is when it looked like Duke wasn't making the tournament, all the other stuff. Dockage responded and found himself in a debate with Coleman Lamb and assistant professor Joanna Mellis about college athletes' compensation. When Dockage, a former Indiana player, attempted to discredit the professors, Mellis, a former Division I swimmer, challenged him to a race in the pool. Dockage later used the word bitching in reference to Mellis and tweeted he'd have to divorce his wife before accepting her challenge. Quote, through his use of the B word and the way he sexualized my clear reference to racing in the pool, he debased and violated me according to my identity over the public airwaves for all to hear. What? Wait a second. You're a college professor in 2021. You're on Twitter fighting with someone, and you think the fight is going to be civil? This isn't even bad. Dockage said, I just said bitching because it's what people do. It's what everybody does. Everybody just bitches now. That's sexist, apparently, because I said bitching and a lady was in the conversation? Oh, my, this is bad. And then she wanted to, quote, go at it in the pool? Well, if you go at it in the pool, that's a public place. And then I'm going to have to get divorced because somebody's going to see me in the pool with another woman. It's going to be a problem. He's right. I'm with Dockage. That's absurd. These people are crazy. Oh, but ESPN's investigating because I think we all know what Dan Dockage is. He's a conservative. He's a conservative. He played for Bobby Knight, right? Clearly a conservative. And we finish with this fun nugget. Kobe Bryant had a childhood home in Pennsylvania. It was recently listed, and it sold for $810,000. There was a separate item with the purchase of the house that was first offered to anyone who buys the house, and it was offered for I don't know what it was offered for. I take that back. It was offered to purchase separately, and the owner of the home declined to purchase it separately. He just bought the house, not the item that came with the house. The house, without the item, sold for $810,000. The item was Kobe Bryant's childhood basketball goal. And the current owner of the house separated the sales out. He gave the basketball goal to an auction company where they auction off. This is just the goal, the rim, the hoop. They sold it off for $37,200. Kobe Bryant's childhood basketball hoop just sold for $37,200. The owner of the house has the house for $810,000. That's it for this edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Don't forget, coming up at the Patreon site on Tuesday and every Tuesday, Between the Lines 2.0, Danny Klinkscale will be my guest. We'll get into all kinds of topics. If you'd like to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com. Click the button. $5 a month, you're in. You get the Patrons podcast and the newsletter every week. And we do special in-person events like the March 20th March Madness Watch Party. We're going to be watching the first round of the NCAA tournament on Saturday, March 20th, at an undisclosed location that I've confirmed. I tell the patrons where it is, and then the patrons get to come. That's how it works. We do patron meet and greets. We will do later this year. We'll do an event for all the listeners. I'm planning on that one as well. That'll be watching like a Royals game on a Saturday afternoon or something. We'll do that as well. But if you want to become a patron and go watch basketball with us on March 20th, just join up. $5 at kkhasissues.com. Get the bonus programming and the in-person events. It is, and by the way, free gambling tips through football season. Lee Sterling, I think he went like 12-6 this year for the patrons. It was really good. It was free advice every Thursday night. So there's some value to doing this if you'd like to become a patron. kkhasissues.com. If not, please hit that follow or subscribe button for me. Makes a big difference for the podcast. You're helping a lot. So many of you are telling your friends. I can't thank you enough. Spread the word if you can. That's much better than social media. That's much better than anything. Find like-minded people. Say you like the sports, you like the politics, you're going to like the podcast. Here's how to listen to it. And hit that follow or subscribe button. We'd greatly appreciate it. As always, thank you so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.